It's 7 p.m. Thursday. Oh, it's not. Well, hello, everyone. If you're tuning in, we have an opening here, which is supposed to be playing now, and I don't hear it. And so we need to get our opening going here.
All right, let me try it again. Hold on a second. Yeah. Hit stop. You there now?
Okay. I'm here.
All right, let me try this again. You know, we'll get thousands of listeners tonight because of this.
Oh, yeah, because we get, and we're messing
up. It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this...
Right, cut out again.
Well, that's odd.
All about wine.
Oh. Wow.
Ooh. Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in...
Well, we're having an issue with that. We need to stop that. There's something happening with that. I'm not getting on my mind. I don't know if it's going over the airs or not, but I don't think so. I'm not hearing it.
You can hear me.
I can hear you fine. And then I heard that, and it cut off a couple of times. And
that's odd.
Yeah, that is. That's very odd. It's showing the time. It's still playing.
Yeah.
But I'm not hearing it.
I'm gonna try and mute the microphone and see if maybe we're overdoing it or something. I don't know why, but I'm gonna try and mute my end and see what happens.
I'll see if I can do the same thing here.
Okay. Well, that's odd.
It quit playing and quit timing and everything. So I don't know. Well, hi, everyone. We're back.
Anyway, it's Thursday evening, 7 p.m.
It's Thursday evening.
Let me go back. Let me get the script out. Maybe I can just do it from scratch. You imitate the people we called.
Oh, okay.
And I will. Yeah, I'll imitate everything else on the show. So.
Okay. This is kind of... Hi, this is... Brotherhood Winery in New York, the oldest winery in New York.
Oh, that's a good one.
The oldest winery in America, actually.
You're
cutting up a little bit now, too.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah, there's definitely going to be over 1,000 people listening.
Yeah.
All right, let me see. Let me try and play something else here. We are experiencing technical difficulties right now.
Oh! Yeah. That worked.
What else? there's got to be something. But the show will go on, so. Okay.
Well, those seem to be coming through, so.
Yeah, it's not a. Well, those aren't 2 minutes long either, but I don't know why the other ones. Maybe something wrong with the tape. I mean, we did go back to cassettes here, so.
Yeah, yeah. You go back to 8-track, pop in the old 8-track.
To a. I could run, yeah, right. We could go back to 8-track, and okay. I have a reel-to-reel. Yeah.
And it's a little difficult to, yeah.
Yeah. The famous Edison wax cylinder that we're playing all of our sound effects off of.
The hardest thing is finding the wires to hook it to the program. I mean, you can radio check doesn't carry them.
That's true. No longer.
No longer.
A long time ago. So anyway, it's all about wine, and here's Ron.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, bus people.
Yeah, there bus you people. There you go. It's dark here now, so they're sitting out there.
Oh, you know, that one even
chilly here too. Yeah.
Yeah. That one even cut out. That's kind of strange.
That is strange.
I don't know. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll just plan on having our guests on tonight. So and our discussion.
Hopefully they'll come through okay and all that. Oklahoma, we've been gone for the last couple of weeks. Hope everyone in America had themselves a wonderful Thanksgiving. Canada has a Thanksgiving too. You know, I mean, not all countries do. Canada does. They have a Thanksgiving, but I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. Hope everyone had a good week before Thanksgiving. We were gone then. I had a tasting I was going to, and so we weren't there for that. But we have been before then, and we are now, and we're on Oklahoma, the great state of Oklahoma. And we're going to be talking about Oklahoma tonight, and we're going to have a guest. And Oklahoma has 54 wineries, and I sent out emails to a little over half of them. And amazingly, I got response from only one.
Wow.
I know. I just that surprised me. At least I usually get calls from, you know, three or four of them at least, or email response from three or four, but only one out of like 30 of them I sent out. So I don't know. I'm going to contact some more, and I'm going to call a couple of them this coming week, because there's one that I want to get on that makes an ice wine. And so I'd like to get them on next week. We're going to be spending next week in Oklahoma also. But Oklahoma tonight, before we get our guest on, we got a new state here. Every time we go into a new state, I always like to tell you a little bit about the state and what's going on with the state and the AVAs and everything else. And so first thing we're going to do, as always, is talk about the state itself. The state of Oklahoma, this is located in the center of the country. And I mean, just like smack dab in the center of the country. It's located... I'm sitting here playing with the computer and trying to pull up maps and stuff like that, and I'm having a hard time. There we go. excuse me. I've still got a bad cough that's hanging on. Oklahoma is located in the center of the country, a little south center of the country. You have Texas right below Oklahoma, which covers the whole southern border of it, to the east. Mostly Arkansas, although Missouri touches the northeast corner of Oklahoma. Almost the entire northern part of Oklahoma is on the Kansas border, with this little bit of its finger, a little bit of its panhandle that sticks out to the west, touching Colorado, and the tip of the panhandle goes all the way over to New Mexico. So Oklahoma's surrounded by, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 states, with just a little bit of it going into New Mexico. Oklahoma didn't used to have the panhandle there. Texas used to come all the way up into that, but politics gave them the panhandle, and so they have the panhandle now. The state has basically a lot of diversification in the state as far as elevation goes, and how the state is set up. And the far eastern and the far southeastern corner is the lower elevation part of the state, and up to the panhandle goes quite high in elevation. And most of the wineries are located in the eastern part of the state because of the panhandle elevation and stuff is not conducive of wineries. The lowest part is Little River at only 289 feet, which, you know, really is rather low if you think about it, and around the country, some of the states we've been in. Whereas all the way over to the far west, the Black Mesa is 4,973 feet, almost 5,000 feet, at the tip of the panhandle, the far western part of the state. So it is quite a diversity of elevations in the state. The rivers of the state, there's a lot of them, a lot of rivers running down, crisscrossing all through Oklahoma. Most of the watershed goes to the south and into the Red River, which is the border between Oklahoma and Texas. But there's a lot of rivers all around the state, especially on the western side of the, or eastern side of the state. Again, very conducive of wineries, all the rivers and everything. I'm not going to go through and tell you all of them. A lot of reservoirs around, too. Oklahoma is full of reservoirs. A lot of the rivers have been dammed up and reservoirs used. Oklahoma also has a lot of Indian reservations on it. It is full of Indian reservations around the center of the state and stuff. County map, the counties, 77 counties in Oklahoma, some little small tiny ones, but most of them are, you know, pretty much standard, which you will find throughout the state. The capital of Oklahoma is Oklahoma City, located in Oklahoma County. That is just a tad bit off of just west of the center of the state, just pretty much right there. Just in that area, too, Oklahoma County and Oklahoma City, that's where all the earthquakes have been hitting. All of you out there who have been listening to the weather reports and all that, they're still getting a lot of earthquakes in Oklahoma. We'll ask tonight if they are affecting the winery we're going to be talking to. The winery we're talking to, I believe, is in McCurtain County, which is in the far southeast part of the state. So it's a long ways away from the center of the earthquakes, but still, they said they heard felt some of the first earthquakes up as far as Chicago. So it just might be possible that they felt some repercussions of it. Oklahoma highways. We always end up talking a little bit about some of the highways in the state. Interstate 44 runs from the northeast corner coming out of Missouri and going catty corner down through the state, passes through Tulsa, which is in the northeastern part of the state, through Oklahoma City, and then on out into Texas. I-40 comes out of Arkansas, straight across the state, through Oklahoma City and into Texas. And I-35 comes out of Kansas, straight down the state, through Oklahoma City and into Texas. So three major interstates that run through the state, but a lot of smaller U.S. highways crisscrossing the state and all that. Pretty well built up in the state of Oklahoma. You don't have any areas. We've covered some states where they've had big gaps because of either forest or mountains or whatever. Oklahoma doesn't have it. Oklahoma has cities just about everywhere. A lot of Indian named cities and stuff because of the Native American influence in that part of the country. Broken Arrow is the name of a city. In fact, I see two Broken Arrows here. How can a state have two cities named the same thing? you know, I mean, if you send it to some address, that's going to confuse post people in there. You know, so that is our state of Oklahoma as far as that goes. Now, Oklahoma, the wine industry in Oklahoma, we go back to the 1920s. Oklahoma was, wine production was a big agricultural component in the 1920s in Oklahoma. A lot of industries and a lot of stuff associated with wine. And then the 1930s, double whammy, Prohibition and the Dust Bowl. Dust Bowl did more damage to Oklahoma wineries in the 30s than anything else. It was a serious problem. Now most of the wineries are located in Greene County, which is the northeast corner of Oklahoma, Lincoln County, surrounding areas up in that area, probably mainly because that is where the American viticultural area is for that part of the state. AVA that covers Oklahoma is the Ozark Mountain AVA, which is located in northwest Arkansas, southern Missouri, and northeast Oklahoma. It's the sixth largest AVA in the country in size. The Ozark Mountain AVA covers over 3.5 million acres, 14,245 hectares. There are five smaller AVAs in the Ozark Mountain AVA, but none of them encompass Oklahoma. Actually, all but one of them all but two is in Missouri, and then there's one that's completely in Arkansas, but Missouri has it. Within the Ozark Mountain AVA, the oldest AVA in the country is located. It is the let me find it here. I just had it and I was going to make a note of it, and it was the Augusta AVA that's located in Missouri. It gained status as an AVA in this country in June 20th, 1980, 8 months before Napa became so. And so that is within the Ozark Mountain AVA, which is part of Northeast Oklahoma. Oklahoma's wine grape production covers a variety of just about everything, sweet to dry, you know, native grapes, the vinifera grapes, the just about every type of grape you can imagine grows in the boundaries of Oklahoma. They have literally everything. Peaches, they use jalapeno peppers to make wines. There is a winery that I have to get a hold of next week, Woods and Waters Winery, that produces an ice wine in Oklahoma. So there is a great diversification within the boundaries of Oklahoma as far as wineries go. The state itself is 54 wineries within the state of Oklahoma. And like I said, I sent out emails to quite a few of them, but I was able to get a hold of one, got a response from one, and that is called Girls Gone Wine. Michelle from Girls Gone Wine got a hold of me and said that she'd love to be on the program, but she said that they don't really make wine. They don't have a vineyard and they don't make wine, but I invited her on anyway to let her tell us the story. And Michelle is waiting for us to come on the air. So, Michelle, are you there?
I am.
Well, welcome to All About Wine. Glad you can join us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if you heard me there. I mentioned a little bit about Girls Gone Wine and that you don't really have a vineyard or a winery, but you. I invite you on. Tell us your story. Tell us Girls Gone Wine. What is the basis of Girls Gone Wine? And it's you and who else? Obviously, it's more than one since you said Girls Gone Wine.
That's right. Well, we are Girls Gone Wine, and it's three friends. A lot of people think we're sisters, but we're three friends that after a road trip where we were making our own batch of wine, we just one of the three of us, not me, but one of the other girls said, you know, we ought to look into doing this. And my reaction was, I'm quite sure we should not do that, but yet we did. And we opened the doors of Girls Gone Wine on April Fool's Day, 2006. And our slogan is, we're Girls Gone Wine, not farming. And that's because, as you mentioned, we don't have a vineyard. We don't grow grapes. So a lot of Oklahoma wineries do grow grapes, especially along the old Route 66. But we bring in juice concentrated that's ready to ferment. We do all the production here on site. We do have a winery, a free tasting bar, a great, fun, sassy gift shop. And the deal is we're in the very corner of Oklahoma, and we're about 3.5 hours from everywhere. Dallas, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Little Rock, and lots of tourists, over 1 million tourists a year, come to this little corner of Oklahoma where there's
They vacation here. Why?
And
why?
So,
I mean,
opening our winery in this little corner of the state, all the tourists that come just turned into the perfect formula. But we never dreamed it would work. It was a hobby business. We did it for fun, and we had no business plan, but our plan was just to be sitting on our pink leather sofa and watch chick flicks and drink wine, and if no one came, we'd just have a good time. And we opened the doors, and the business just launched, and we just celebrated our 5 years this past April Fool's Day.
Well, fantastic. What you say, over a million people to that part of the state, why?
Well, I know
what's
people
there?
Think Oklahoma is that flat, dry, you know, people have no image of Oklahoma, or if they have an image at all, it's that Dust Bowl image. But in reality, we're down in the very corner, right on the Arkansas-Texas line, and we've got pine trees and mountains and tourism and state parks, and people come for the outdoor recreation, the hiking, the biking, the lake fishing, trout streams here. And so when you can get from Dallas to our corner of the state in 3.5 hours, there's over 600 luxury vacation homes that are available for a nightly rental. And so every weekend, those 600 cabins are full of mostly Texans that vacation here with their families.
And you didn't even mention the Oklahomans and the Arkansans that might vacation there.
Yeah, we get a fair share, but mostly Dallas, Northeast Texas, that corner of the state that, you know, folks are just looking to escape and maybe not have to drive as far as Colorado, or, you know, it's just a quick, easy destination. So they come here for a weekend. And we have lots of girls' trips, as you can imagine. We're shocked at the number now that are making Girls Gone Wine part of the reason they come, and we never dreamed that would happen.
Wow. The area you're in, is there any other wineries close by or anything?
No, there's over 50 wineries in Oklahoma. Most of them are more in the central part of the state along Route 66. And so the closest to us would be they're a couple of hours away. But some people make this part of their Oklahoma-Texas, you know, wine trek, if you will. There's some down in Northeast Texas, and then there is a winery north of us about an hour. But we're kind of off the beaten path. I mean, you got to kind of want to come to Broken Bow, Oklahoma to get here. It's not a place you happen upon.
You mentioned Broken Bow. Before, at the beginning of the program, I was telling a little bit about Oklahoma and the elevation and the towns and the roads and different things. And one of the things I noticed and I mentioned is that Oklahoma has two Broken Bows. How can a state have two cities by their two towns by the same name?
Well, actually, we have one Broken Bow, and that's us down in the corner. And then there's Broken Arrow, which is up by Tulsa. And more people are familiar, you know, if they know about an area, they'll say, oh, that's by Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we say, no, we're down in the corner of the state. And then there's a Broken Bow, Nebraska, and that's actually our town. That's where we got our name. The logging industry back at the turn of the century, the men that started that business were from Broken Bow, Nebraska, or they knew of Broken Bow, Nebraska.
Well, that ties in very well. What is the weather like where you are? I mean, you know, what is the weather like? The winters, the summers, the highs, the lows?
Yeah, well, typically our summers can be pretty hot. This year was a record breaker. It was ridiculously hot. But typically in the summer, you know, we're around 90 degrees, sometimes get up to that 100-degree mark. Winters are pretty mild in our corner of the state. We're just right above the Red River, which runs between Oklahoma and Texas. And then we call it a mountain range. And the Floridians, it would probably be a mountain range north of us, elevation about 2,000 feet. A little over 2,000, but because we lie in between the river and the mountains, our winters are fairly mild. We don't get near as much snow and ice as even Dallas to the south of us or Oklahoma City to the north.
Oh, well, that's amazing. Now, I was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, so I'm familiar. I've spent some time in Oklahoma visiting relatives around there, so but I've never been to Broken Bow, I have to admit. What is the, you guys ship? I mean, do you, is it just?
Yeah,
I feel like my God, it's kind of crazy. I'm sure you've talked a lot of mistakes on your show.
We can't ship to Oklahomans. It's against the law for Oklahoma citizens to receive shipments of wine. But we are currently set up to ship to 9 states, and those are typically no-brainer states that are either low fees, no fees, kind of easy to ship to. And, of course, Florida is one of those. Texas, for us, is a no-brainer. It doesn't matter what it costs to ship there. We have to keep those permits up because, again, the majority of our business and customers are coming out of that Texas, And so we ship to 9 states, Florida, North Carolina, California, Alaska, Minnesota, Washington, D.C., Louisiana, Texas, Missouri, maybe missing one. But, it's kind of a random assortment of states. And because we're a small business, we just started, you know, looking randomly at what states had a low fee, no fee, and we set up to ship there.
Oh, well, that's a good way to do it, yeah. And, you know,
every state has its own laws and rules and permits and, you know, tax structures, and so it's...
How, since you mentioned laws and rules and permits, how is Oklahoma as a state treating wineries? Is it good, bad, indifferent? You wish they dropped dead? You want to give them a hug? What?
Well, Oklahoma honestly has some pretty archaic laws when it comes to alcohol. For our business, we're doing fine down in this corner of the state. Some of the wineries, there's been some legislation that has not made it out that would allow, we are allowed to do self-distribution within our state. In other words, wineries can self-distribute to restaurants and liquor stores.
Oh,
but
wow.
If you ever exceed, yeah, you can do that. And if you exceed 10,000 gallons in production, then you need, then you have to go through the wholesale. We have a three-tier system here.
Yeah, the whole
so,
country does.
If you exceed 10,000 gallons, then you go through the wholesalers. Then there's a big debate right now about allowing groceries to sell, grocery stores to sell wine and strong beer. In Oklahoma, our beer is only 3.2, which some people call near beer. They say that's
right.
Not even beer. But that little debate isn't going to even make it, I don't think, into legislation. So there's a lot of resistance from the wholesalers and distributors to those kind of changes and from the retail liquor stores. So I don't know. I'm kind of hedging that question as if I want to love them or hate them or hug them. But as far as Girls Gone Wine goes, we're doing fine with our retail store and those million tourists that just keep coming. And so, you know, we're not relying right now on any distribution. And then shipping out of state, the fact that we were allowed, that law got changed a few years ago, and that was, that was important for us, and once Texas opened up, that, you know, that was big.
Yeah, well, considering where you are and what you're getting in. Tell us about your wines. I'm on your reds here, but tell us what each one, what you're doing with each one here.
Well, the fun thing, really, for Girls Gone Wine, is, you know, as the name implies, we just have a lot of fun here, and our real goal and our mission statement on our bottles of wine is to treat people to a fun experience, let them enjoy wine, introduce them to wine. If they're, you know, a lot of people come in our door and they say, we don't even like wine. So when we get that, we start them with the really sweet wines, which is, you know, where those of us who now drink dry wines maybe started out, you know, on the sweet end of the scale. And we're really pleased to move people up into the dryers as they keep repeating business. But the names imply a lot of fun, too, and our artwork on all of our labels are caricature art of the three of us owners doing, you know, different things, like our Groovin', which is a dry white wine. It's a Pinot Gris. It shows us as kind of hippie chicks with a van, and, you know, it's groovin', and it's just fun. And in our dry reds, we have some Australian wines. One of them is called Spicy Sheila's. And, again, when I say Australian, and the juice is coming through a broker to us. It's an Australian-grown Shiraz. And so we have a Road Trip Red, which is our favorite, because it's kind of that Thelma and Louise. We're in a convertible with scarves flying and drinking our wine, and that's what the artwork is on that label. And as you probably know, labels sometimes can sell the wine. And so,
oh, yeah,
you know, people enjoy the artwork and what the story that each of these labels tells. Our top-selling red is probably our Black Tie, and it's an old vine, Lodi region, Zinfandel. And on that particular label, I don't know if you're looking at them on our website, but it shows our winemaker, which is my husband. We call him the wine stud, but we only ever show the back of his little bald head. We don't want his face on any of our labels. So that one shows him playing the piano in his black tie, tux and tails, and we just have a lot of fun, and that's really what we're about. It's not a real serious wine experience. It's just one that people feel comfortable in, not pretentious. We just introduce them to wine. We have some people coming in that love wine, and they have a good time too. But that's really our business model. And our Sinfully Delicious signature wine, that's our White Zinfandel, that wedding wine that, you know, about anybody can tolerate it, you know, if you like dry, if you like sweet. And it's our label that we use on all of our marketing. And, of course, we had a woman draw all of our labels. She's our caricature artist, and we send her our ideas, and she creates the art. And my husband, as I said, his title is the wine stud, and he's the guy who makes our wine. He about wants to kill us because we're always coming up. We want a new label. We want to create a new wine and we come up with something new and get him started on something else. So
what you actually do is you come up with a label idea.
We have a couple of wines on the sweet list I would like to mention. Wines with a cause, if you will. One's called Friends for Life. And one of our employees here was battling breast cancer, and we did that particular wine as a fundraiser in a small town. We're a town of 4,500 people.
Oh, wow.
And people turn out for fundraisers, and we did that wine to sell to help her pay her medical bills. And she unfortunately didn't survive that cancer, and that bottle, that particular wine, the proceeds have sent her son to 3 years of college, and next year her daughter will start college. So that one's a wine that's dear to our hearts because of the, you know, it's a fundraiser that we're able to help in her memory.
Fantastic. I was saying it seems like you all get together and come up with a label idea, and then your husband has to come up with a wine to match it.
That's right. That's right. We say we want to do something different, and then it starts, and then we'll retire one to introduce something new, just so we can have fun with. It's usually around a kitchen table with drinking wine when we come up with these three.
I'm looking at your labels here. These are great. I mean, they really are a lot of fun. All the labels and all the different ones that you. That you have here. They are, for those of you out there listening, girlsgonewine.com. You can www.thegirlsgonewine.com, and you can look at the labels and click under wine.
You have to put the T-H-E, the girls, that's right. I don't know what you get if you forget the V-H-E, the T-H-E.
Yeah, it's probably a porn site. That's usually what happens.
And unmentionable.
Whenever.
Yeah, we won't go there.
Yeah. Usually what happens is you're punching the wrong thing. I'm looking at a picture of y'all. Who are the three of you here in the picture?
Well, the one on the left is Chandra Rickey. The one in the center is me, Michelle Finch. And the one on the right is Rhonda Reed. As I mentioned, we started this as a hobby business. I was a museum director for the state of Oklahoma for 17 years. Yeah, Chandra, the one on the left, owns a bed and breakfast. And then Rhonda, the one on the right, worked for a newspaper for many years doing graphic design and editing. And then she also is a property developer. So she's got a part in, and we all have a part in the cabin business I mentioned. We have that business too. So we're just kind of workaholics that decided to launch this as fun. And April Fool's 2006, we opened this store. And April Fool's 2008, I said, bye-bye to the state.
Yeah.
To the other job. So we've got about 10 employees besides the wine stud, all women. A lot of school teachers work here part-time just to kind of have an extra gig. And so again, we're having a good time and in our little town creating quite the fun business for tourists and locals to enjoy.
It sounds like the Lago Vista Bed and Breakfast, is that part of it, or is that just...
Lago Vista Bed and Breakfast is what Chandra built, actually the same year we opened the winery, and it's a beautiful property. It's got a view of Broken Bow Lake, which is one of the big reasons people come here. It's a beautiful lake, bass fishing, skiing, all of that, and then Beaver's Bend is the state park that's been here since the 1930s, and that's really the Disneyland that opened this corner of the state up. People... the Civilian Conservation Corps built that park in the 30s, and it's just rustic cabins in the woods, and that's what started drawing those Texans and Oklahomans and Arkansans over here. And so we also have cabins in that mix that we manage. So.
Oh, wow. So you guys are quite diversified. Let me go back here. I was looking at the websites here. Your website, online store. It won't let me get there. The connection is untrusted.
Well, I know it. The guy's working on it right now. You have to say that you understand the risks. And it's the guy that does our secure certificate of all days. Today's the day it expired. So I said, you got to get it fixed before I talk to Ron on the air. But should be up. He said, it should be up any minute. Something's wrong with, but you can click and get into the store, but it should be fixed any second. So I hope you'll stay with us. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, but that online store is during the holiday season. We just sent about 12 packages out with FedEx a few minutes ago. So.
Oh, did you you have all sorts of events and stuff? Oh, here's a picture I see with all of your names on it. Do you have events or anything going on this time of year? I mean, the holiday season. Do you
this year we're gonna have a fun event several nights a week called Wine, Women, and Wish Lists. And what we're thinking is that we'll have chocolates and wine, and girlfriends can come up and kind of just dress up and have an evening out. But while they're here, we're encouraging them to register or just write down what they want. And then we're going to have another night where we invite the husbands to come, and we're going to have that list so they can shop for what their wives have chosen out of our gift shop or wines. We're thinking that might make it easier on the fellas when they're trying to shop for their wives for Christmas.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, we have a few events. We have Ghouls Gone Wine. That's our Halloween costume party. It's always just tons of fun. And we're planning a 1970s-themed roller skating party at our local roller rink. When you live in the corner of Oklahoma, you got to create fun because there's, got to have events. So.
Yeah, do weddings and stuff like that there?
We don't do weddings. We do tons of bachelorette parties. We get lots of ladies. They come through the door with their boas and their, you know, craziness going on, and they drink, they enjoy the free wine tasting, and then we have a really cool patio that people go out and they can enjoy a large tasting, we call it, a glass of wine out on our patio, and cheese and crackers, and then there's a series of restaurants close to us that's their next stop, is one of the four restaurants that are just a stone's throw away from us up in this tourist area.
Oh, okay. What do you charge for your tastings?
No, tastings at Girls Gone Wine are always complimentary, and we always had them complimentary and plan to keep it that way. So it's just a really simple way to introduce people to the wine, and it's affordable for us. It's a great marketing tool. So.
Do you taste all of them then at any time?
Yeah, we do. Most people don't taste them all. They'll kind of go in a direction. If they like dry, we'll do the whites. We have two dry whites. Right now we have five dry reds. We're going to probably reduce that down to three as soon as we run out of some inventory on a couple, because we have 16 varieties right now, and
wow,
that's a lot for the poor wine stud to keep up with. So
I can imagine.
We produced about 60,000 bottles this year. So.
Wow, that's quite a bit. But you say you get kits in, so what size of kits? What do you do? Obviously, it's not just the little 6-gallon carboys.
We produced 300 liters at a time. We started out with the 6-gallon carboys the first 2 years, and we expanded, added another 1,500 square foot for production, and went to the larger 300-liter 80-gallon stainless tanks, and we're up to 24 of those now.
Wow.
We just expanded for the third time in our 5 years. So it's been a crazy growing hobby business, and put the word hobby in quotes, but we typically do two of those 80-gallon or 300-liter tanks per varietal each time. He just tries to stay ahead of the curve with the increase in our business that we've experienced over the last couple of years.
So you're getting what, about 300 cases then?
Is that on the
yeah
on
per
300
per
cases,
batch? If you're doing two.
Get, how many cases is a batch, honey? It's 30 cases. That's not a batch for the 80 liter for the big tank. 360. Yeah, 360 bottles. So 30 cases,
yeah.
And then we typically do 720 bottles. So that's 60 cases of each varietal every time we bring off a batch.
So you don't have a lot to sell then.
I don't really know. I just sell it and he produces it.
But if you run out of stuff quick, it would seem.
Well, yeah, we try to keep a pretty decent inventory, and we've tried not to run out of anything. Last week we were waiting on him to bottle our Crush, which is a sweet red wine. Our Twisted Sister is a sweet red wine. That's our top seller. That's one that we just make as fast as we can. In fact, he's been considering going to the larger stainless, but that would require us retooling everything. So we're trying to figure out how to deal with that's a really good problem to have as a small business in this economy, to be trying to figure out how to produce more.
Wine. Yeah, how to expand, yeah. Well, is the wine stud standing there with you?
He is. He's sitting here listening to me because we're getting ready to do our end-of-the-month inventory. So, he's here.
I just finished my end of the month today and got it taken care of.
Yeah.
We all have to do it. Everybody in the wine business is doing it. Yeah. Well, what type of bottling is he using?
What kind of bottling or bottle?
Yeah. A bottling system. Is he gravity feed, or is he doing one at a time, or?
It's like I don't know. It's like a big trough with six
spigots.
It's
gravity feed then.
It's a gravity feed, yeah. And so he can do, you know, he fills that trough and then bottles six bottles, and he has a retired school teacher and another young lady now that help him do the. We have a pneumatic corker. And we used to do all the labels in-house. We finally got smart and got a great machine that puts the labels on. And he bottles about 1,000 bottles once or twice a week.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah, 720
okay.
Bottles twice a week. So those sweet wines, those six sweet wines, come off in 5 weeks and don't really need any aging. You know, those are the easy ones, and those are the top sellers for us. Again, we've got a lot of people that are just getting introduced to wine. And then the drier ones, we try to produce to get, you know, 6 to 9 months age on those if we can.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, well, good. I promised you I wouldn't ask you any technical questions, and I threw a couple of them in there. I'm sorry.
It's okay. All right.
Mike, do you have any questions for Michelle?
Yeah, I was gonna ask a question, then make another comment about the website. It looks great. Are there any wine trails in Oklahoma?
There are. They're typically along the Route 66, so you know, a lot of folks can kind of look at Route 66, and there are several wines clustered along east of Oklahoma City, between Oklahoma City and Tulsa, all the way up to the kind of in the corner by Kansas and. Missouri, Arkansas, up in that corner. So, yeah, they're sprinkled along, primarily along Route 66.
Okay. And then the other thing I was just going to comment real quick is I find very unique is your 360-degree virtual tour. It's really interesting. I've been just going around and looking at different things. You have the tasting and gift shop in 360 view and the production it's really, really unique. I haven't seen that on a website before. We usually check out the websites when we're, you know, talking to guests and everything. And I don't remember ever seeing anything like that.
Go to
virtual tour off your website and you know, telling people out there, and you get a really interesting view of your operation and your gift shop and everything. It's really interesting. So I think that was
cool.
It because you mentioned the steel barrels. So you don't use oak at all, right?
No, we use the oak chips or whatever that you put in to get that oak flavor. We can add more, we can add less. For instance, our Chardonnay is pretty much an oaky Chardonnay, not so buttery, but it's my favorite. We call it whitetail, and the label on it is us with the whitetail deer all dressed in camouflage. I was a little bit, it's got a little bit redneck for us, but it really is a great Chardonnay, and the label is super cute. And so, as I mentioned, we have tons of fun with those labels.
Yeah, that's it. It looks great. I'm still looking at this.
Yeah, it is. It is cool. Michelle, another question.
Go ahead.
No, another question. A lot of different states we've been to, and a lot of different wineries that we've talked about have talked about wine clubs. Do you have a wine club of any sort there?
We don't yet. It's something we've been talking about adding, and you know, honestly, things have exploded here so quickly. We've been trying to get ahead of that curve, and with our online store, and we just also, it's kind of an internal thing, but we upgraded to a wine software that makes all of that integrated. And so we've just done that, and we're hoping to launch maybe wine clubs early 2012 because, again, when we introduce new wines and fun wines, we think that should be a no-brainer. The problem, of course, is that we can only ship to the states that we're legally set up for. But we think wine clubs would be a fun thing, and we've got a lot of demand for it. We've had a lot of customers ask about it.
Well, maybe if you start getting enough business from other states, it might be worth getting the shipping license to those, too, with the wine club.
Yeah, exactly. You know. We have a list that we're looking at, like Colorado and some others, you know, kind of on our list. And typically when people call, we just check the ship compliant to see what it takes, you know, how much is involved in getting legal for those states. And I might mention, too, social media has been great for us. We're up to 6,900 Facebook fans, which has been kind of a fun way to interact with our customers and Twitter as well. We've got both. But we have a lot of fun, you know, just getting to know our customers and having fun with social media.
Yeah, that sounds, you know, Facebook is a great way to do it. And we've been, the winery here has said, we don't have that many. We've got, I don't know, 500 on our fan list right now. But boy, there's 6,000. That's a good testament to your location.
Yeah, it's fun. We've mostly just put it out there, and it just grew and launched like crazy. And so I used to, every night I would holler out to Terry, the wine stud, my husband, I'd say, 1,573, you know, and I would give him the count over and over and over. And I just checked it just now. I was looking at it, and we're at 6,912. And so it's just kind of a fun thing to watch and to see how people interact with us that way. And mostly a lot of Oklahoma people weigh in and say, you don't have Oklahoma as a ship-to state. Surely this is a mistake. And so we get to answer that question over and over.
Oh, yeah. Every time. Yeah. Write your legislature. Well, Mike, anything else?
No, I think I'm good there. Got all my questions answered and the comments and everything. It's really interesting. I like
that. It's a great website, too. Well, Michelle, tell us all the information about Girls Gone Wine, the address, your location, your physical location, your email address, your phone numbers, your Facebook, your Twitter, your blog, everything, so anyone out there listening can be in touch.
All right. The most important probably is our website, and it is thegirlsgonewine.com. Put the T-H-E in front of it. We're located in the very corner of Oklahoma, right on the Arkansas-Texas line. If you know where Texarkana, Texas, or Paris, Texas is, we're not too far from there. But our address is Girls Gone Wine, 10 miles north of Broken Bow, Oklahoma, 74728. Our phone number is 580-306-WINE. Let's see, we're Facebook, we're Girls Gone Wine on Facebook, Girls Gone Wine on Twitter. And, again, we do have a great online store with 9 states we ship to. If you get on there and it says that our connection's untrusted, just bookmark our website because it should be up within the hour. So I don't know what happened, but that's one of those techie things beyond our control.
Yeah, we have tech problems all the time on the program here, so.
Yeah, but we're so glad you invited us on tonight. And if you ever find yourself back in anywhere close in the corner of Oklahoma, Dallas, Texas, we're 3 hours from everywhere, so see us.
Well, it sounds like a great plan, and if we ever are in that area, I will definitely check you out. Like I say, I go back to Kansas City every once in a while, and it's not a bad trip down to the tip of Oklahoma anyway, so that might even be on my
itinerary. Yeah, I think we're about 7 hours from Kansas City, so come. Small road trip. Come see us.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, thank you very much for being on the program with us. It was great. I'm glad you took the time to join us tonight. And best of luck to you and your future adventures. Looks like you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. That's interesting. The audio is not working. I just asked the studio audience to applaud, and they applauded, but I didn't hear it.
I didn't either. Oh, wow.
I have to listen to the archive version and see if it, there's, you know, maybe it is playing and we're just not hearing it. I don't know.
I don't know why we Michelle cracked up a couple of times though. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
picked up on some of that little bit. Well, very interesting. And I did find out if you do go to, which you don't want to, go to girlsgonewine.com, it's basically not a real page. It just shows some, I don't know if they're Google ads or what, but it's just all related to dating and personals. So, yeah, I don't want to go there.
It's Girls Gone Wine. Yeah.
Someone just got the domain and didn't do anything with it is basically what it is. So it's just like an automatic, that's what it's doing. So it's just throwing that stuff up there. But
TheGirlsGoneWine.com. Yes. They got a great website too. I mean, if y'all and that tour is really interesting and just
That's unique. So, I haven't seen that. Okay.
I haven't either. That's a real good idea. Can you do that?
We'll talk
off the air.
I have, but not quite to that. You know. But yeah, there's ways to do that kind of thing. It's not too big of a deal. Takes
cool.
a camera. Yeah, it's really cool. All right, so we have how much time do we have? Is this
a little less than 10 minutes.
That's not bad. Let's see. So next week we're going to cover Oklahoma again.
Yeah, we're going to stay in Oklahoma. We're going to do some more. I got a bit of information here. This is about wine. This isn't about Oklahoma, but I picked this up in a paper, and I, in fact, instead of paraphrasing, I'm just going to read this little article that it is about wine. So we're not leaving our going into politics or anything. Former NBA basketball star Yao Ming. I don't know if anyone remembers him, but Yao Ming played for the Houston Rockets. Very tall Chinese guy, played for the Houston Rockets. But the former NBA basketball star Yao Ming hopes his 7-foot star power combined with China's thriving wine market will help his new vintage score a slam dunk with Chinese connoisseurs. Obviously, basketball in this article decided to play on the word slam dunk. It says the recently retired Houston Rockets center released the first bottles of his new Yao Ming branded wine. The 2009 Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon is currently available only in mainland China. Yao's company, called Yao Family Wines, has produced 5,000 cases of its first release at a cost of $289 per bottle, which includes the hefty Chinese import fees. The wine will be available in the United States later next year for only $170 a bottle.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw that and I wanted to share that with everyone. It, no one saw it out there. That was in the paper actually just a couple of days ago. China is a big market in import wine now from not just the United States, although there's a lot coming in from the United States, but not just from the United States, but from all over the world. The Chinese wine consumer has really exploded in the last couple of years.
To that extreme, or they're charging how much per bottle?
$189 a bottle? I don't know.
And it's because it's a celebrity. It's not, I don't know. It's not especially blended.
Okay. But I saw that and I'm going to share that. So
Very cool. Interesting. Okay, let's see what do we have next on the agenda. Talk about the party a little bit more. December 10th.
Yeah,
if you haven't made,
yeah,
we
got.
If you haven't made travel arrangements yet, you need to get your travel arrangements in and be in this part of Florida by December the 10th. And if you fly, make sure you go into the international airport like Tampa, something major, because if you go into pilot country, apparently someone is mistaking the runway for the runway. There's a small plane landed over on a road next to, well, it's this kind of a ways down from you, but at pilot country, they were like a mile from the runway, but that was kind of interesting. I read that last week or two. But,
I saw that.
So fly, you don't want to land over, knock down mailboxes and everything. So avoid that. And go take a major airline and fly into Tampa International Airport before December the 10th, because on December the 10th, which is a Saturday, Florida State's Winery is celebrating their 10th anniversary with a birthday party, 10th birthday party, with cake, door prizes, vendors, music, and more. It's going to be a gigantic event, and it's going to be fantastic. And, congratulations on 10 years. That's amazing. That's wonderful. So I just wanted to happy birthday.
Thank you. We're excited. Yeah. 10 years. I mean, that's you know, and this economy, wow.
Yes, definitely. You know, it's kind of like they used to say, like if you have a business and you make it 7 years, then you're in it. You know, it's just not you're pretty much there. But it's when you have an economy that has done what it has done here and in the U.S. and everywhere, then you know, to still stay through that, it's incredible. That's great. So as you know, Girls Gone Wild has done as well. So the rest of them. But, 10th anniversary. Wow. They opened in December 2001. And what else do I have? I have 12/9/2001 written down for some reason. Was it actually on the 9th or no? I don't know.
Actually, it was on the 4th.
The 4th.
December the 4th of 2001 was our official opening date.
Ah, okay. I don't know why I have.
But we do our birthday party to the closest one in December to it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
On a Saturday or something.
Yes. Okay. As long as the government doesn't get in and decide to make it one permanent day like they do so many other holidays, we're good.
Okay. So this year, December 10th, is the National Florida State's Winery Birthday Celebration.
Birthday.
So, yeah, they'll be celebrating it across the from coast to coast. So that'd be great.
And we will have door prizes or presents for people. We're going to have music. We're going to have vendors there and to help us celebrate and all sorts of good stuff going on. So by all means,
make plans, make reservations and get down here or up here if you're south of us. So now, Florida State's Winery, and let me see, I have enough to go and get the address out and everything. Unless you have any other comments, I'll go ahead and give,
if
you ask for everybody else's address and everything, well, it's time to give Florida State's Winery's address and contact information.
yeah
Always there you
a
go
good thing.
Yes, it is. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52. With my mouse. So, wow, what was that? Was that you? Okay. 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. That zip code is 34639. In case you have to plug that into your GPS like I do. The phone number is area code 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. You can also email Florida State's Winery at corp@flewn.com, corp@flewn.com. And as always, for a lot of information on events and their wines and everything, visit the website www.floridaestateswines.com, floridaestateswines.com. And you can also research on Facebook. You can find them on Facebook. There's I think the links and everything are on your website. Let me go there.
Yeah.
But you're also on Facebook. And your winery is open daily, every day from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. You don't have to worry about the snow times or winter times or anything like that. It's very rare down here. It does get cold. It was cold this morning,
yes.
44 when I left. Yeah, 44 degrees down here when I left this morning. But that doesn't matter. It's 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., 7 days a week, closed major holidays. And picnics are welcome. Most major credit cards are accepted. And it's a great place to visit and sample some world-class wines. Purchase your wines. They have a nice gift shop and everything, and it's just wonderful. Located 4 miles west of Interstate 75, you take exit 285, go 4 miles west on State Road 52, and you'll see the signs there. You can also get to State Road 52 from the Suncoast Parkway, US 41, and US 19 if you're coming in from the west coast of Florida. So very easy to get to right off of State Road 52. Great place, and it's always a great day at Florida State's Winery. And we are done with this show this week. We'll be on Oklahoma again next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is going to be on December the 8th. So So be sure to join us. Mark your calendars there. And by that time, you should be in Florida if you're not already. And you should be in Tampa by that time.
So you can be part of the bus crowd.
That's right. We will not send a motor coach over to pick you up. And transportation is not provided.
Yes.
But you can match that on your own, please. And December the 8th will be the next show here, All About Wine. You can also catch All About Wine on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ All About Wine BTR, all one word, All About Wine BTR on Facebook. You can friend us here on Blog Talk Radio if you create a free account. You don't have to broadcast. You just create an account as a listener, and you can friend us there, and it also keeps you informed on upcoming shows. I'm not finding any issues with the audio, but I'm sure there's something going on.
Yeah, it's you're bouncing and cracking up and all that on it. So
wow, okay. Yeah. We're just having issues. I hope it's not going out on the archives, because that's where we get a lot of people listening.
A lot of listeners.
Yes, definitely. So I guess we will close the show tonight and see you all next week on December the 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Ron,
as
always.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.
I'll try and imitate a small studio audience. There we go. That's as good as I can do.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. So thank you all again, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
And thank you, everyone. Good night.
Yeah, we're out. Thank you. Bye.